they're used to not really having to think. Actually, the one question that you asked in the survey, I wrote down and it's on my bulletin board. And it was, who's doing the thinking in your classroom? And it was like zero students and five teachers or something like that. I might be botching it. And I said, it was teachers, 100%. We're just basically getting the kids a
In
puppet
this
to just
episode,
do the
we chat
math
with
and give you
Jake
the
Hickson,
answer.
the system math lead for the Provincial and Demonstration Schools branch of the Ministry of Education here in Ontario, Canada. Jake and his colleagues service students who are deaf or hard of hearing, blind and low vision, as well as students who have one or more identified learning disabilities. We chat with Jake about the challenges he faces as a district mathematics leader who is mentoring educators across three buildings that span great distances. While Jake has access to some built-in professional learning structures, the amount of time and delivery format is certainly less than he would like in order to engage in an effective mathematics professional development.
Stick around and we'll listen in as we help Jake shake his district leader pebble out of his shoes. Welcome to the Making Math Moments That Matter podcast. I'm Kyle Pierce.
And I'm John Orr. We are from MakeMathMoments.com.
This is the only podcast that coaches you through a six-step plan to grow your mathematics program, whether at the classroom level or at the district level.
And we do that by helping you cultivate and foster your mathematics program like a strong, healthy, and balanced tree.
The trunk represents leadership in your organization or the classroom pillars in your math class. The roots of your tree represent mathematics content knowledge and what it means to be mathematically proficient.
Like a tree requires soil, water, and sunlight, your mathematics program requires a productive mindset and a belief system so that all students can achieve at high levels. Your professional learning structure or your professional learning plan represents the limbs of the tree.
The branches of your tree represent the development of educator pedagogical content knowledge, including effective teaching and equity-based teaching practices. And finally, the last section of the tree are the leaves, which represent the resources, tools, and the classroom environment.
If you master the six parts of an effective mathematics program, the impact of your math program will grow and reach far and wide.
Every week, you'll get the insight you need to stop feeling overwhelmed, gain back your confidence, and get back to enjoying the planning and facilitating of your mathematics program for the students or the educators you serve. This is a Math Mentoring Moment episode where we chat with a math moment maker just like you and guide them to some next steps in pushing their classroom or district leader practice forward. Hey, how's it going there, Jake? I don't think I was on the last call, but nice to see you.
Agreed. Nice to see you for the first time and nice to see you again.
Right on.
So what's on your mind? I know that our last chat, we were chatting about how we could support you and the work that you're doing at the ministry, but where's your head at right now? And fill us in on some details since that call back in September.
Well, we've got an assessment going right now. We've picked an assessment program, which is good. I'm dealing with all kinds of staff turnover. And literally right now, I just got done yesterday listening to the most recent podcast you guys put out. I forget the name of the teacher, but she said she was new in her second year and she's really struggling. And I was like, okay, that is a snapshot of every teacher in my board.
I bet.
They're all brand new and most of them aren't math people, although I'm not sure if she was a math person, but the lack of understanding of the developmental trajectories and the concepts, the way you can stagger it. And for my board where you really have to know your trajectories in order to differentiate appropriately.
Absolutely.
And you have to go back quite a ways sometimes. So that really resonated quite a bit. And then when I filled out your survey, asking us to self-assess, I was like, man, we are bombing this.
Hey, don't feel bad because it is across the board a tough one. And it's funny, when we were developing this screener, we
We're really concerned about that because we, of course, don't want anyone to sort of beat themselves up over it. But so we sort of had two routes where we can maybe not ask some of the harder questions, but then will we actually make progress towards what we're trying to achieve? So we choose to kind of look at it. And when we're discussing with district leads like yourself, we choose to look at it as think of all of the upward potential there is, all of the upside, the growth, the things that aren't happening that may, or I mean, I say may, but I mean, I would argue does actually describe why we have the challenges we have in mathematics. Now, it doesn't make it an easy thing to fix necessarily, but if you can kind of see that, and then as we've broken it up into the six parts of the tree, as we like to call it, and then start honing in on one area to at least start making progress towards filling out the other areas, we're seeing a lot of really positive things happening in the districts that we're doing some work with. So glad that it sort of resonated with you. We've really tried to clarify things. I think since the last time, John, that you and Jake had spoken, we were doing this work, but it's much harder to articulate. And that's why we've spent a lot of time really trying to narrow down and trying to help people sort of see maybe some of the places that things are heading in the right direction, I'll say, because in a lot of cases, not like everyone's doing everything, but you'll see some positives there. And then you'll also see some areas that maybe are some low-hanging fruit that you can work towards as a team and start crafting more of a longer-term plan so you can see some shifts in the right direction.
Yeah, in one sense, I wish there was more of a team for my board, but it's literally just me now. But
congratulations.
Hey, a team of one. Yeah. We always have unanimous decisions, but it's not nice because you don't really have anyone to bounce ideas off of.
Right.
But I would say the six areas, content knowledge is probably our biggest area of need. And then I think there was a question in the screener where it was like, how often do you get to meet and discuss these things? And the answer is not often at all because there's no supply teachers, right? So I've been trying to tackle how do I get the content knowledge out there while being unable to have these lunch and learns and all these things where teachers either are just burnt out, they don't want to do it, or there's no release time, right? Luckily, we do have the NTIP program now going. I just finished my first session with that today. So I'm at least able to do some work there. And when I did a survey of those guys before the session, I asked, like, here's all the different content areas or pedagogy areas where, like, rate your comfortability. And luckily, math was actually quite low. So they were, or no, how much support do you feel you need? So math was quite low. So that's good. It means either they're tired of hearing me talk or they feel
like they know everything.
Right. Oh, that could be even worse, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Or maybe it's efficacious, we like to say. Sometimes people think that things are rolling along smoothly, like math.
Yeah, I'm good there. I remember my math from school, you know?
Right, like, right. A lot of times what we'll see in certain areas.
Know what you don't know.
Exactly. Is that they're like, well, I can turn the page. I've got a textbook and I just turn the page. It's the easiest one for me to plan. But the real question is how effectively is it going and how do you know, right? And,
yeah.
And those questions are obviously a little bit harder.
How many are in the NTIP program, Jake?
I think we have 13 right now. 13 out of 70 teachers.
Right.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, the turnover is just unreal.
Right.
Now, do you have any interesting, and obviously being in Ontario, but you're in a unique situation given the focus of the group of students that you're working with. Are there any opportunities? We're hearing supply teachers isn't a thing. That's an issue. Do you have PLCs that can work into the timetable? Is that something that is happening? Is there other creative structures that potentially you're able to tap into, i.e. staff meetings? Obviously, unions say you can do, what is it for elementary? I think it's what, 90 minutes a month or 75 minutes a month. And that might be local depending on where in the province you are. But what does that look like and sound like?
So I've got a PLC going up in Belleville. That's one of our schools up in Belleville. And so I go up there monthly and I've been doing a PLC on visual models and context. Because our students have language deprivation, my teachers are ignoring word problems, which is the biggest sin. It's everything. So I'm telling them, like, guys, you're just giving them this abstract concept that they can't really apply to something. Like, even when kids are learning to count, they don't know what three is. They don't know something as simple as three because the threeness is abstract. So yeah. I asked my
symbols
teachers,
abstract. Yeah.
Right. I was like, show me three with these colored tiles. And 50% of them just drew the numeral three with the blocks. And I was like, Jesus, there was like 12 blocks in there. Mm. And I was like, okay. Like they didn't even do three groups of four to make the three. Like, so I was like, okay, so this is where I'm at. But other teachers did that. And I was like, okay, so here's where we're at. Now, if we're trying to apply that to even higher end concepts, even addition is a little, is a bigger jump, right? These yeah. kids need to understand addition means like something's coming together. Quantities are coming together and we're looking for a total here. So I've been really focusing on like how to break down the word problems. You guys had a good workshop on there. So I've been watching that and using that.
Which one? Where the word problem workshop?
Yeah. So I watched that one and I was pulling a lot of things from that, but I haven't used any of that yet. I made a lot of notes about, I really like some of the terminology you guys use, like naked problems. Everybody's using naked problems at my school. And it's all naked problems of one context. It's all, I have students that know how to add if it's horizontal, but they don't know how to do it if it's vertical. That's weird. But it's not weird when you look at what's happening. They're getting the same, you know how there's those websites that just randomly generate problems? That's what they're getting. And so I try to tell these teachers like, hey, what you're doing is great. It's super easy. There's not a lot of words on it. I get why you're using it and they can do it. But you're basically giving them Delicio pizza every day for dinner. Yeah, it's easy to make. It's easy to eat and it's done. You're full, but you're going to be blocked up. You're going to have the runs. You're going to feel sick in a week.
That's funny. We had a meme like that, eh, Kyle? We had a meme where it was shrink wrap pizza. It was a gourmet pizza. It was like teaching with these tasks and teaching with these tasks. It was exactly that meme. It was hilarious that you brought that exact example up.
Right? Like, I'm like, oh my God, you're doing this, but you need to have some veggies. You need to have a piece of chicken. Yeah, a Delicio pizza is good once in a while. And sometimes you need to have it, but it's not going to get you anywhere. So these are the problems that I'm dealing with. But PLCs, I am running one. Staff meetings, I've been to a few. But so far, it's been an uphill journey for sure.
Where you think some of the issues may be coming from. You're saying there's a high turnover. So obviously we've got a bunch of brand new teachers who are trying maybe to try something and they're probably thinking overwhelmed for sure. That's understandable that we can help them with developing those. The teachers who aren't, say, brand new, what would you say is the reason they're getting the Delicio pizza every day? You said it was easy, but is it because it's like, I'm going to focus on this other area? Usually when we have, especially elementary teachers, they will teach to their strength, right? Or they'll teach to where they feel like the most need has to happen right there. Is it behavior? Is it like how to help these particular kids wrap their minds around other things than say these school subjects? Or what would you say is the reason that teachers are turning to the easy get problems versus the, let me actually try to figure out how to go deeper?
Yeah, I would say it's probably a combination of variables there. There's a big factor of the language issue. We don't have effective literacy. So they avoid the word problems. They avoid those context-based problems. And then they don't have the comfort with the subject to come up with these activities that are the ones that spark the curiosity, the ones that you guys are leaning towards, where it's they're not comfortable either waiting for a response or they're not comfortable saying like, I don't know, let's figure it out together. And it's gotten to the point where for some of our students who have been with us for a while, that they're used to not really having to think. Actually, the one question that you asked in the survey, I wrote down and it's on my bulletin board. And it was, who's doing the thinking in your classroom? And it was like zero students and five teachers or something like that. I might be botching it. And I said, it was teachers, 100%. We're just basically getting the kids as puppets to just do the math and give you the answer, right? But then when you ask them to apply it, if I ask them, hey, this is why I'm doing bar models right now, because when I taught using bar models, students were finally able to identify the operation needed.
Yeah, and these are big issues. I think we can address a lot of them. Jake, how do you see us helping in this situation? I think you're an Academy member. We had a chat. We kind of talked about our programming before, got access to the online platform. I think you know that we have a whole side of things that help leaders like you build out the program. So you've got all that info at your disposal. Where do you see us fitting in on making improvements here?
Hey, Math Moment Makers, Kyle here, and I've got just a quick message specifically for our district-level mathematics decision makers out there. Do you feel like you're spinning your wheels when making district-level goals for mathematics programming from kindergarten through grade 12? Setting new goals each year only to find little to no real shift in pedagogical practice or educator content knowledge across the district as a whole? Take a moment to book a short call with our team so we can learn more about your specific district and educator learning needs in mathematics so we can assist you in taking the first step of many in the right direction. Visit makemathmoments.com/district to book a web call with our team today. We have a limited number of spots for districts just like yours, so don't wait. Head to makemathmoments.com/district and grab a spot in our calendar now.
Yeah, so I loved the idea of the mentorship program, but I do think even if it is just you guiding me, or if do you do like a school-based one? Is there a pricing that would be just for a school-based leader? I don't really know, honestly. How could you guys help me? If this is something that's included for Academy members, then this would probably be great just to guide me. But if it's not included, I'm not going to be here mooching off your time.
Well, actually, I mean, included in the Academy is our Q&A sessions we do once a month. So that's one opportunity that's out there. And at least lately, has been smaller groups lately, and it can vary. Sometimes they're much larger groups. Get into great discussions like the one we're having here with you today, which is completely awesome. But when it comes to something beyond that, I mean, I guess the other option is getting your educators access to some of the Academy content and then helping you to frame a structure that sounds kind of more like what we would do more in the mentorship program, which is something that we do essentially. We'll do the mentorship program, whether it's leaders at one school or a whole district. It's kind of works out to be the same because we're just working with that team. But that in between would be getting educators set up with their own access. And we do have some pricing that makes that easier, more accessible for those educators. Obviously, with, I think you were saying around 70, 75 educators, that's a significant number. You're going to still probably be cheaper than having it on as a district mentorship program where you get the full support and we help you with actually integrating and implementing the plan that we co-construct. That is an option that's possible. And then we've seen some schools that are unable to do the mentorship program that do work on the licenses, and then they try to run their PLCs, their staff meetings, using that content or leveraging that content. So some teams will have an optional group where they say, hey, we're going to do a course study. It's optional. You can join us. If they're working online, then it could be on a lunch break. Or if they're working after school, they could do it online and you could bring a group of people together. So there's a variety of options that can happen to help you support in that work. One of the benefits in either case is going to be that you're going to have, and those educators would have full access to all of the problem-based units. So that provides them with not only a lesson planning tool, but then also the opportunity to implement in their classroom. So you as a team, you could work with, let's say, the primary teachers. And when you were talking about addition and students not really understanding what addition really means, the structures of addition, like what is happening when we operate on two numbers using addition, you could leverage one of those units as sort of the focal point, and then you can have them send off and actually try it as more like a lesson study. So lots of options, lots of ideas there, but I'm not sure where your head's at.
In terms of how to support, that's a fantastic question. I think your tasks would go a long way. I'm not even sure if we're ready to get to those tasks at this point. If I told my teachers, hey, these are the kinds of tasks we're going to be doing, I think a lot of them would poop in their pants. I think they would be afraid to do it.
Yeah, I definitely agree. If they are going to go in kind of on their own, very different category, someone who's seeking these things out, and that's sort of like the people who find us on Google and use the tasks, and these are people who are eager to make these changes. It sounds like your group of educators are probably more at this very introductory, like trying to get them an awareness piece, right? That, hey, there is something that can be done. And I'm picturing if we're just trying to give you maybe some next steps from here, from this particular call, I'm almost picturing that you leveraging an opportunity to kind of think of how can I sort of nudge my way into each of these buildings, whether it be face-to-face or online? And are there, I guess, first opportunities where everyone can be involved who's teaching math? That might be the staff meeting, the PLC time, whatever it might be. But then also looking at a tier two, which would be people who are raising their hands. They're thirsty to learn more and want to volunteer to maybe join after school once every few weeks, right? To actually do that work. And then through that work, I'm picturing that you could leverage some of the coursework like you have done, like you said, the webinar, the course that you looked at for word problems. You could leverage some of those tools to help create the need so that they're going, okay, I think there's a need to change. And then from there, you would actually do some of the problems or the units with these groups so that now they're exposed to it. Because like you're saying, I 100% agree. If you just say, hey, here's this unit, go try it, it's probably not going to work so hot, right? It's kind of like saying, here's a bike.
Well, I just give them the task. It's not going to work. Yeah.
No, totally. Yeah. Go here, try this bike out to a young child who's never ridden a bike, and that's not going to go very well. So getting them sort of aware that, hey, it sounds like you're already in the awareness phase, right? You're helping them to see.
I agree. I think that's a fantastic idea. In terms of getting everyone licenses, can you send me information on that?
Yeah, we can definitely.
Is just the individual pricing for everybody?
We would try to put something in there. The other piece that I think is important to note is that a lot of units, well, day one of each unit is pretty much open so that educators can use them. There are parts of the teacher guide that aren't available. So some of the actual, it's like mini course in there where we sort of teach them how to teach that section of the particular unit, but the actual content's there. So you'd have full access to it with your account. You'd be able to see those consolidation prompts and all of those things. So you could leverage that for the learning part, for this awareness phase that you're in. So I think that's a really great next step for you personally and how you can help them. And then we can help you out with the license thing, get you all those details on the back end and see if there's something that could potentially work. You were talking about awareness and you were saying that you sort of have this gut feeling a lot of people are unaware that there's a problem. I wonder, you took the district leader version of the screener. I wonder if you were to share the classroom version of the screener, which there's two approaches. You could just offer it as like, hey, whoever wants to try this, this would be make the case why they would want to optionally do it. Or it could be something that you bake into the next staff meeting where it's like, hey, we're going to take time in this staff meeting. We're going to do this thing. This is not to try to demoralize people. We're not going to try to do any of that stuff. But you want to give them this opportunity. I mean, if you can get everyone to actually do it, meaning it's in PLC time or in the staff meeting, just the questions they're asking, like you wrote one of the questions down, you might get one of those questions to trigger some of the educators to go, oh, I had no idea. Maybe I need to do this. And they'll all get the customized report for the classroom with some actionable steps for them to take. Whether they take them or not is, again, not necessarily the point in the awareness phase, but that could be a really key idea for you. You're trying to tell them all these things that you know are problems. Well, these questions aren't telling them their problems, they're going to tell themselves when they rank themselves and say, who is doing the thinking in my classroom?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Maybe I'm going to be a little lower on that. Or when they, you know, you ask about some of the other pieces, like, do you know what the five proficiencies in mathematics are? I'm going to openly say, 5 years ago, when I started this journey, I did not know what the five proficiencies were, right? So it's just, again, I became aware of it. And I'm like, I better do some more learning about that. And maybe Jake might be able to help us with that along the way.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I think that's a great suggestion, actually. Thanks for that.
So any other questions, Jake? We'll send you a follow-up email that has links to the classroom version. And also we'll get you some details on getting your licenses for your staff. Any other questions?
No, not at this point. I think I might have some more questions for you specifically about the School for the Blind that I service, and then about students maybe with LDs in the future. But I'll let you guys take a breather from me for a while. I really appreciate the help, though.
Oh, no sweat. No sweat, my friend. We appreciate your time and the work you're doing. And obviously, I think it starts with when leaders are trying to make the moves like you're making, even though it might feel like you're spinning your tires a little bit here and there, a lot of people are feeling in a similar boat. So good on you that you're doing the work. And if we can be any help along the way, hopefully some of these ideas are going to help you with getting started on the next steps. And who knows, maybe there's an opportunity there for us to dig a little deeper.
I hope so.
If you're a math leader just like Jake, you can head over to makemathmoments.com/grow and take our short assessment screener, which is really going to go through and ask you questions that are related to all six areas of an effective mathematics program. Those six areas that we've highlighted here on this episode and on every episode. Head over to makemathmoments.com/grow. You can do that assessment, and then you're going to receive a customized report based on your specific responses that will give you some action items that you can put into place right now. If you're a classroom teacher, we have a classroom math program version over at makemathmoments.com/report. And either way, whichever page you land on, it's going to ask you if you're in the classroom or if you're leading a district or leading an organization, and you can make your selection from there. So head on over to makemathmoments.com/report.
In order to ensure you don't miss out on new episodes as they come out each week, be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. And if you found our podcast in whatever way, maybe you found it through Facebook, maybe you found it because someone shared it, maybe you found it by just searching on Apple Podcasts or in Spotify, wherever you found the podcast, do us a favor, share that podcast in that same way. So if you found it on Facebook, share it on Facebook. If you found it through email, share it through email with someone else. If someone shared it with you over, say, a lunchroom table, share it with another person at the lunchroom table. Sharing the podcast helps strengthen other teachers' pedagogical practices, content knowledges, other teachers' trees, trying to create that balanced tree. Sharing that podcast can help kind of stretch our teachings and our learnings and the work that we're doing far and wide.
Hey, show notes, links to resources, and complete transcripts to read from the web or download and take with you are over on makemathmoments.com/episode234. Again, that's makemathmoments.com/episode234. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Making Math Moments That Matter podcast, where we help you grow your mathematics program like a tree so your impact can reach far and wide.
Until next time.
Well, until next time, I'm Kyle Pierce.
I'm John Orr.
High fives for us.
High five for you.
If you are a district leader of mathematics, a math coach, a math curriculum coordinator, a superintendent, a principal, getting teacher buy-in for effective math teaching practice is top of mind. And plans only go so far. You can make, you know, detailed plans and carefully designed goals with clear objectives and key results that are measurable. But that can feel like it all falls flat if we can't engage our teachers in the work. Working with teachers who do not want to change their teaching practices is one of the most frustrating and challenging parts of our job. How do I help teachers engage in effective teaching practices when they keep pushing us away? If you can't reach the tipping point in mass adoption of effective mathematics teaching strategies, then it's likely we won't see student improvement in mathematics. We have a free training an accompanying workbook for leaders of mathematics like you. The Make Math Moments team, myself, John, and Kyle, walk you through our four-stage process we use with district partners to create clear, measurable, sustainable PD action plans, but more specifically on how to also get teacher buy-in so that it drives student engagement. So step one, register for this free training, get your planning workbook, and then watch the training. Schedule some time on your calendar so you can watch it and go through the workbook. After completing that workbook, you're going to have a clear, measurable vision, action plan for mathematics to get more teacher buy-in, but also be able to hit your goals for the 2024-2025 school year. So head on over to makemathmoments.com/4 stages to start this free training.